lived here my whole life, graduated from South Oby High School. I've had the privilege of growing up in this church. I was baptized or dedicated here as a baby like 25 years ago, which is super cool to be here with you all. And Pastor Matt baptized me a couple years ago, and Pastor Matt and I have been spending a lot of time together. He's helping me do premarital counseling with some couples, which has been very interesting. Some interesting conversations and a little awkward with Pastor Matt and then a couple, and then me. It's just a weird dynamic. And I don't have much to contribute to that, but I'm there. I went to Island Christian Academy here, kindergarten through eighth grade, and I went to Little Lambs, which was the old building there before it got torn down. And so this community and this group of people has just really poured into my life throughout my whole life. And it's cool to see Miss Bartell, Miss Justice, Miss Chittum, Mrs. McCourt, Miss Chambers, all people who taught me in this school. And it's cool to see them here every Sunday. Just that real family of God community that's here. So a little bit about me now personally. I work at my family business in Everett, and I commute across the ferry. I am currently going to school at Northwest University, getting my master's in ministry leadership and theology, and hoping to be a pastor in some way. We'll see what God has in store for that. I really enjoy being outside, spending time hunting, fishing, hiking, and I just really enjoy being God's creation, and that's one of the ways that I like to spend time with God, and that's kind of what we're going to explore a little bit today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning, God. Thank you for this beautiful island we get to call home, God. Thank you for this group of people here, God, this family of God. Lord, I pray that this morning you would open our ears, God, tune our ears to you. God, I pray you'd open up our hearts, speak to us, God, what you want us to hear. And God, we pray for this Sunday for our island, God, where people are meeting all across this island and all across our country, all across the world this morning, God. And I just pray that your will would be done, God, and that you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit in every place, God, where people are meeting to gather in your name. God, we just we give you all the praise, all the glory, God, and I pray that, you just open our ears, open our hearts this morning. Let me pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, this summer, we are going through the book of Jonah, and we're working through that. It's only four chapters long, so it's fairly short, easy to read through. But it has some really great biblical principles, I think, that we skip over if you just read it through. And, for those of us who have been coming weekly, you've heard this recap a lot, so bear with me. But for those of you who have never heard the story, I'm going to just give us a brief overview of what Jonah is and what happens in it. And so God speaks to Jonah and tells him to go preach to the wicked city of Nineveh. And Jonah decides to run away from the Lord, which turns out not a very effective strategy. Jonah gets thrown off the boat by the sailors because the Lord sent a storm. Jonah gets swallowed by a huge fish and is in the belly of the fish or whale for 3 days and three nights. And Jonah's in the belly wrestling with God. And then the fish vomits Jonah onto the beach. And then the Lord spoke to Jonah yet again, saying, hey, you didn't listen the first time. I'm going to tell you again. Go to Nineveh and preach. And then Jonah obeyed, I don't think very willingly. And then the king of Nineveh and the Ninevites heard what Jonah had said, and then they turned from their evil ways, and God spared the city. And even after God uses Jonah here to save the entire city, right, Jonah was mad at God that he used him to save an entire group of people. And Jonah was like, God, take my life away. And then God's like, why are you angry? And Jonah then goes out east of the city and sits down under a shelter he built. And then there the Lord provided a leafy plant to give him shade. And then the next day the Lord provided a worm, and the worm ate the plant. And then Jonah was in the sun and the scorching heat. And Jonah was once again mad at God. In which God said, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And here God humbles Jonah at the end, making it clear that the Lord cares for creation and all the people of Nineveh. So that is the brief overview of Jonah. And today we'll be focusing on the context surrounding Jonah hearing from God. And what I hope you all take away from today is how to tune out the noise and tune into God. And that's our big idea this morning. So today, we're going to look at how Jonah heard from God in the text and the context surrounding it. I'm going to introduce the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude and how it is demonstrated throughout the Bible. And then we will explore how dangerous distraction can be. And lastly, how can we implement intentional time to God in our everyday lives? So let's hop into Jonah here. So Jonah gets a bad rap. I mean, he hears from God directly, and then he disobeys. And he doesn't just disobey, he tries running as far away as possible. And what he does is the farther he goes, the longer it will take for him to get back, right? So he tries to get as far away from God and what God told him to do from Nineveh as possible. And I think one thing we miss, though, that Jonah has right is that, you know, Jonah heard from God and was in relationship with God. There's a dialogue between God and Jonah throughout the whole book. And, you know, he may not have been obedient. No, he was not obedient. And he may not have listened to God when God spoke to him, but he was in relationship with God. So let's look at the context surrounding when Jonah hears from God. So we're going to jump into Jonah 2:10, which is the end of chapter 2. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land, Jonah 2:10. And then it rolls right into chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. So Jonah spent a few days in the belly of the fish and then gets vomited onto dry land. And I can just imagine Jonah is sitting on the beach, totally humbled, right? Like, God told him to do something, he didn't obey, he gets swallowed by a fish, and then he gets vomited onto the beach. And I can imagine he's just sitting there covered in, you know, fish slime, which is quite gross. And he's humbled. And I almost guarantee that in that moment, when Jonah's sitting on the shore, that he was attuned to God. God had his attention, right? And once he was vomited, then the Lord spoke to him. And, you know, here in this moment, he was probably alone, and he was probably in silence, and with his attention toward the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him. So we'll go to the next passage in Jonah 4. Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. And so after Jonah unwillingly obeys the Lord and proclaims to the city of Nineveh, he goes out and sits outside the city to see what God would do. And then the Lord provides the plant which shades him and the worm that eats the plant. And this causes the dialogue between Jonah and God. And once again, we see God humbles Jonah, saying, "Do you not think I care about my creation and all the people?" And again, in this situation, if we look at the context surrounding it, Jonah is alone, he's by himself, he's away from distraction, he's away from noise in this encounter with God. And so these examples from Jonah are going to trampoline us here into the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude. So I am currently at Northwest University getting my master's in ministry leadership and theology, and one of the classes I took last semester was called Spiritual Formation. And one of the biggest takeaways for me from this class was the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude, and silence being the absence of noise and solitude being alone, away from other people. And there were two books that stood out to me during this class, the first being The Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth by Richard Foster. And this book takes older spiritual disciplines and applies them and explains how we can apply them in our modern day lives and giving time for God and giving room for God to work in our lives. And chapter 7 is titled The Discipline of Solitude. And he writes this in his book. The purpose of silence and solitude is to be able to see and hear. The Spirit speaks to us when our heart is still and silent before the Lord, not when we're rushing about doing our own thing in our own way. And what silence and solitude does is it creates time for us to hear from God, which is what we should all want, to hear God's voice in our lives so that God's will be done and not ours. It allows us to tune out the noise and distractions in our life and tune our ear to God. The second book that was really impactful for me was Invitation to Solitude and Silence, Experiencing God's Transforming Presence by Ruth Haley Barton. And in this book, Ruth Haley Barton uses the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings 17 through 19, to demonstrate the cycle of spiritual burnout and recovery through silence and solitude and what that looked like in Elijah's life. And she applies it to modern principles. And here's the quote from that one. "More than anything, though, silence and solitude are an invitation to enter more deeply into the intimacy of a relationship with the one who waits just outside the noise and busyness of our lives. It is an invitation to communication and communion with the one who is always present, even when our awareness has been dulled by distraction." So practicing silence and solitude is a spiritual discipline, just like fasting from food would be, or prayer. And I have never even heard of this spiritual discipline up until this semester at school, which I found interesting. You know, being raised in the church and in school, I just had never connected the idea of silence and solitude and how it is applied in the Bible. So let's look. We're going to look at a few examples in the Bible. And in each of these examples, God uses the time of silence and solitude to speak and grow each person before they jump back into whatever situation they are in. So if you are an introvert who only wants to be alone, don't get too excited, because God is preparing us in these moments. And it is not a permanent practice where you sit in silence and sit in solitude and never return back to civilization, but it's where God prepares us and speaks to us into jumping back into the into life and sharing the gospel with other people. Okay, so we're going to go to 1 Kings, and this is the story of Elijah in the Old Testament. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And here Elijah is up on the mountain, right, alone, in silence, other than the earthquakes and fire and rocks, all that. And I find it intriguing here how God, you know, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, but he spoke through a gentle whisper, and in the quiet, in the stillness. And a whisper is quite hard to hear in a strong wind, in an earthquake, in a raging fire, and it may be even more difficult to hear in our lives that are so inundated with busyness and outside noise. And there are several other examples in the Old Testament of people retreating to places of silence and solitude to connect with God. Moses spends three different 40-day periods alone on Mount Sinai to spend time with God. David retreated to the wilderness where he wrote Psalms and spent time with God. And in the New Testament, in the Gospels, we see John the Baptist, who was a full-on wilderness caveman with camel hair clothing, a leather belt, eating locusts and wild honey. And before John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, he spent time in preparation in the wilderness with God. And then that leads us right. We see how Jesus demonstrated silence and solitude all throughout his ministry. In fact, Jesus actually began his ministry with the Spirit leading him into the wilderness. In Luke 4, just the beginning of Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. And then this whole chapter 4 is Jesus and the devil tempting Jesus, right? And this is really where God prepared Jesus to begin his ministry. And here, you know, Jesus encounters the devil. They go back and forth. And for 40 days, God is preparing Jesus here. And later in chapter 4, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. And then many people came that night to be healed by Jesus after the news had spread. And in Luke 4, 42 through 43, it says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, 'I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. So Jesus gets done healing all these people, probably late into the night. And right in the morning, right after, he goes to be in silence and solitude with God. You know, he didn't sleep in. I probably would have slept in. He didn't go do his own thing, but he went before the sun came up, to spend time with God. And I also find it really cool here in this passage how much clarity Jesus has after this time, right? It's like God just told him exactly what he wanted to. He said, but, you know, he leaves, and they said, where were you? And he says, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And the clarity that Jesus speaks here with the mission, with his purpose, and it's right after he spends time alone in silence and solitude with the Lord. And then he gathers his disciples and does exactly what he said he was going to do. And we see Jesus retreat into the silence and solitude in a variety of circumstances and different things that are happening, and Jesus goes into silence and solitude. Right after he is baptized, right after he healed many people, right after John the Baptist gets beheaded in Matthew 14, in Luke 22, Jesus withdraws from his disciples to pray. And not even that far, it says a stone's throw. And there are so many other examples throughout the Bible where people withdraw from the noise and distractions to tune their ear to God in silence and solitude and to hear from God. My grandma wasn't thrilled that I was going to use this analogy, but here it goes. Sorry, Nana. So both my grandma and my dad have hearing aids, and these new hearing aids can connect through Bluetooth to your phone, and so they can play music, or you can be on a phone call, but there isn't anything like up to your ear or in your ear. So it's quite strange for someone looking on the outside in. And there have been a few times my dad and grandma, let's say they're on the couch and they're looking at the TV, but the TV noise isn't on, right? So it's totally quiet in the room. And I'll be like, hey, you know, trying to get their attention, like, hello, hello. And they're just like staring at a screen with no sound. And it's even more weird when they're on the phone because they're talking to nothing. They're just talking out loud. I'm like, what is going on? And then it's obviously their hearing aids. They have Bluetooth hearing aids in their ear, and there's noise, and I can't get their attention. I'm in the same room as them, right? And I think in many ways it's a great analogy of God trying to get our attention. Just like this example, like, God is always right there. He's in the same room with us, and he may be trying to get our attention, saying, hey, I'm over here, I'm over here. But if we have this noise and the static and distraction in our ear at all times, it can block out God's voice. But the beauty of this is that we have the ability to tune our ears to God. Like a radio searching for a clear station in the static, one of those ways to be practiced is through silence and solitude. And being able to control and tune out the noise of life is very important in this time that we are living in right now. I would argue that this discipline of silence and solitude has possibly never been more important than it is right now in this modern, distracted, technological, busy, inundated life that we live in right now, and especially in America. And our phones are one thing that take up so much of our time and distract us. In fact, as I was working on this sermon, there were a few times when I found myself being distracted on my phone, just mindlessly checking emails, scrolling Facebook Marketplace. Like, why am I so distracted right now? And it would just, it's almost like second nature, which is scary. When I was preparing for something to speak, and I wanted God to speak into my life, and I was just distracted unintentionally. As of 2024, on average, cell phone users look at their phones 205 times a day. Americans spend an average of 4 hours and 30 minutes on their phones, which, this is interesting, up 52% from 2024. This study was done, or 2022, and this study was done in 2024. So we're 2 years past that, right? So it's going to continue to go up. And this doesn't include other forms of media, TV, other screens we look at. And we are distracted. We are a distracted people. I know for myself, we just live a distracted life. It's so busy, and we focus on what we have to do, what we have to get done, and the emails, and the social media, and, oh, I have dinner next week, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and we lose sight of God. We glance at God, And do not forget that this silence and solitude is a spiritual discipline, which also means there is an element of spiritual warfare here. Plain and simply, the enemy does not want us to hear God's voice. So if he can keep us, the evil one can keep us distracted and our ears full of noise and static, our ears won't be tuned to hear from God. Just like how the enemy uses wealth, possessions, fame to keep our attention away from God, the enemy uses distractions to take our time. And I'm reminded of Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do will flow from it. And it's one thing to intentionally avoid God like Jonah did after hearing God's command. But how scary is it that some of us are unintentionally avoiding God through the busyness and distraction of this American life we live? We're so inundated with things to do, money to make, social media to check, we forget to spend time with the one who created us and desires to be in relationship with us. And silence can be uncomfortable. That was like 10 seconds and I wanted to start talking. Silence just can just be this thing where, especially in groups and even alone, that it exposes our insecurities and our shortcomings. And I think the beauty of that is that we're is right where God meets us, right? I have a quote here from Henry Nouwen. Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and to listen to him. I have always struggled with reading fiction and, or studying philosophical concepts. I'm someone who is very practical in nature. I like to learn something, then apply it. So how can and how should we apply the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude in our lives? Rick Warren said, in this kind of context, go ahead and hit me the next one, Connor. You don't have it? Okay. Divert daily, withdraw weekly, and abandon annually. So divert daily, what does that mean? Take a few minutes each day to let go of distractions and open up your heart to God. Maybe this is when you drink your coffee in the morning, reading your Bible, or driving in silence on your commute to work. That's a fun challenge. It's very hard to do. just a few moments to tune your ear to God. Withdraw weekly. Set aside one day of the week to intentionally rest and spend time with God. And that can take shape in a variety of different ways for everyone. And abandon annually. Take a few days to a week or more each year to do a retreat with God. No distractions or busyness, just your sole focus on God. Now, I needed this message today probably more than anyone else here. And it's funny how the Lord works like that. I find myself being distracted often, having a very full schedule frequently, which is not inherently wrong, but when my attention and focus are so wrapped up on myself and all the things to do, my attention and focus is not on God. And that's the problem. I am saying my will be done and not God's will be done. I heard a quote that once said, you know, we glance at God and focus on our circumstance, rather than glance at our circumstance and focus on God. And this is why I have found this spiritual discipline of silence and solitude as so important to practice in my life. Now, I have so much room to grow in this, of this intentional time with God. But one of the ways I personally really enjoy silence and solitude with God is when I am hunting. I really enjoy hunting and the whole adventure that comes with it. Oftentimes, I'm in the middle of nowhere, no road noise, no cell phone service, just in silence and very much in solitude because sometimes I hike way too far. A few weeks ago, John preached and shared a story about his dad having a radical encounter with God while on a hunting trip on a mountain, and which radically changed the course of his life. And you know, there's certainly something to this, being in true silence and solitude leading to a deeper, intimate connection with God. And it is in these moments that I personally feel most intimate in my relationship with Jesus. And a relationship with Jesus requires intentional time. If we desire to grow and become more like Jesus in everything in our lives, we need to make it a priority to spend time with him and to grow our relationship. And, you know, think about your most intimate relationships with the people you know. What is it? It takes time. It takes conversation. And we need to make that a priority. Go ahead and come on up, sir. And, you know, you ever have a conversation with someone when they're on their phone? And it's like, hey, like, are you even listening to me? It doesn't make you feel exactly wanted or like they have a respect for you. It's like, hey, I'm here. Why are you not giving time for me? And I think in many ways, don't let that be an image of your relationship with God, right? God's here. He wants to talk to you. He's right here. And I think we can look back to Jonah and see that he was indeed very much in relationship with God. Jonah spoke to God and God spoke to Jonah. Jonah heard God, and you know, he may have had selective hearing and did not obey God, but he was in relationship with him. And for those of us who have put our faith, hope, and trust in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, we have a relationship with Jesus that requires time. And we have to make it a priority. And if it's not, I encourage you to reflect on that. And for those of you here and online who have not yet entered into relationship with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus for the forgiveness of sin, I want you to know that he is right here. He's right there. Acts 17:27 says, God is not far from any one of us. He is right here. He's in the room trying to get our attention. All we have to do is look to him. And he's right there waiting for you to invite him in and begin a relationship with him. And the whole goal of practicing the spiritual discipline of silence and solitude is to just simply open up ourselves for God to do his work in our lives. And we do that by intentionally tuning out the noise and the static and tuning into God's frequency. So this week, my challenge for you, take 30 minutes. Go somewhere where you are alone. No distractions, no cell phone. No other people, just you and God, and give God space to speak into your life. And if God asks you to do something, do it. If God tells you something you don't really want to hear, don't have selective hearing and disobey like Jonah did. Give God time to work in and through your life so that his will be done and not our will. Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Zephaniah 1:7. Be silent before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. Tremble and do not sin when you are on your beds. Search your hearts and be silent. Psalm 4:4. Psalm 46:10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And just reflect on that. Be still and know that I am God. Sarah is gonna lead us in a song. And if you need prayer this morning for whatever it may be, we'll have some of our elders up front here. And if you hear God whispering in your ear right now that you need prayer or God wants to speak something to you, I encourage you to come up and receive prayer, because God moves through the power of prayer. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time, God. I pray that you would just work in each and every one of our hearts, God, and do your work in us. Lord, we want to make ourselves available to you, available to your will, God. Let your will be done and not ours. And Lord, for those of us who, those people listening and online who have not yet entered into a relationship with you, Lord, and through Jesus, God, I pray this week that you would just speak to them. God, that you would bring about moments of silence, Lord, and that you can just whisper into their ear, God, and that they would be receptive and hear you, God. And this week, as we practice those 30 minutes, God, I pray you would just help us to clear our hearts, clear our minds, God, clear our distractions, clear our noise. Help us to get rid of anything that's distracting us, God. Whether it be our phone, TV, things to do, emails to check, social media to look at. God, I pray you just help us to be still and know that you are God and that you have us and you have everything in your hands, Lord. God, we thank you for today and thank you for this time, God. And I just pray you move by the power of your Holy Spirit today, this week, not only here in this church, Lord, but everywhere where people are gathering and hearing your word. And we pray all these things in your name.